Today, if you take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 3, we're going to be looking at a man named Nicodemus. Who was Nicodemus? He was a respected teacher in Israel. He was highly educated. He had a good reputation. He was an honored member of a special class of the National Council called the Sanhedrin. He wasn't just any person. He was a very important person in Israel. But does that really matter to God, who we are? You know, I've heard it said that it's not what you know, it's who you know, right? As a Christian, when I got to college, I had had a pretty easy time in academy. I didn't have Mr. Albertson as my teacher. And so I kind of breezed through algebra. As a matter of fact, algebra 2, I was so smart, I thought, that I didn't need to take algebra 2. I had been doing algebra since I was in fifth grade. And since Marilyn's gone for the weekend, I can tell this story. I actually did her algebra for her when I was in fifth grade for at least the first half of the year. Then she found that when she would go to take her exam, she hadn't done her homework, and so she didn't really know what the test was all about, and that came to an end pretty quickly. So when I got to academy, I took Algebra 1, and I didn't really have time to take Algebra 2. Mr. Albertson, he would have just loved to have me as a student. I wanted to just rush through school. Matter of fact, I took 4 years of academy in 3, and so I didn't have time for Algebra 2. So I asked the teacher if I could get credit for it by just taking his final exam. And he laughed at me. He said, sure, go ahead and try. He gave me that final exam. I had to get 80% on it to pass that class, and I got 96% on his final exam, never having taken Algebra 2. But it's not what you know. When I got to college, it was a lot difficult, more difficult, and I had to learn where to find the answers. It's not necessarily in the spiritual life, though, what you know. It's who you know. I believe Nicodemus was a sincere seeker of truth. He was a product of his generation. He was a product of his education. But I believe he was sincere, and I think his heart was started to be touched by hearing John the Baptist preach. God was letting him hear certain things to set up an encounter with Jesus. The Bible says this: there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Now, wait a minute. He used the plural there. We know that you are a teacher sent from God. Now, once in a while, I catch myself using the plural of me by saying we, because that lends more credibility and emphasis to what I'm about to say. You know, I've had people, church members, come to me and say, Pastor, there's a group of us that feel, and then they go on with their statement. It might be just them. There could be three of them, me, myself, and I. But it's we. We know. Now, if you've studied and listened to Adventist preaching, you've heard the Bible prophecies that Jesus came right on time as the Messiah. Don't we believe that from Daniel? There was that 490-year prophecy, and that was for the Jews. And most of that, 483 of those years, was to then mark the coming of the Messiah. Then there were 7 more years, 3.5 ministries of Jesus here on this earth, and then 3.5 more years until the first Christian martyr. And then would come the end of the Jews being God's special people. If you had the book of Daniel, you could read that, and it wasn't rocket science. It was from the going forth of the decree to rebuild Jerusalem, and all Jews had to take history. And they knew where they had come from, they knew where they had been, and they knew that they had been in bondage, and they knew there was a decree to come back and restore Jerusalem. They all knew that. And so if they read the book of Daniel, and I'm sure that the scribes and the Pharisees, all of the members of the Sanhedrin had studied the prophecies, they were looking for the Messiah. Jesus wasn't the first one to show up on the scene claiming to be the Messiah. So I believe Nicodemus and some of the other members of the council had been looking and searching the scriptures and studying prophecy. And the reports that were coming back to them. Now, if you're following in your Bible, you'll notice that I skipped a small portion of Jesus cleansing the temple. My focus primarily through this series of sermons on individuals and how they met Jesus and how their life was impacted and what we can learn from that. So I kind of bypassed the whole cleansing of the sanctuary. But, it's not cleansing of the sanctuary. It was the moving out of the sellers and the buyers and the animals and the money changers. That got their attention. Not just any normal person would walk into the temple and say, okay, you money changers, turn over the tables and say, get out. Go over to the animals and unleash them or open up their pens and usher them out and tell people this is a house of prayer. That got their attention because, you see, those priests and leaders of Israel, they made a little extra money with that. It got their attention. We know you have come from God. Well, they knew he was special because an ordinary man wouldn't do that. But as I said, I believe Nicodemus was sincere in his searching for God and for good. We know that you're a teacher because nobody could do these signs and wonders unless God was with him. Nicodemus came to Jesus when it was dark. Does that surprise you? You know, the Bible says that iniquity loves darkness. Truth comes out in the light. Why would Nicodemus go to Jesus at night? Maybe it was because so no one would see him. He was a respected person, and this Jesus guy, he was kind of new on the scene and questionable, and his reputation was at stake. If he was seen going to see Jesus, he could be in trouble. So he wanted to guard his reputation. Maybe he was curious. He had heard some of these things, and he just wondered. He knew that the prophecies about the Messiah, and he was wondering to himself, could this be the one? There had been others. But you know, if my calculations are correct, we're in that time frame. Could this one be the one? Since hearing Jesus, he had studied the prophecies, and the more he studied, the more he was convinced that this might be the right one. So he came to Jesus by night, because you see, he had many questions. He was wondering if Jesus could provide answers to those questions. Continuing, we read, Jesus answered him and said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, where did that come from? Isn't that kind of a blind side to Nicodemus? He comes, he gives a little flattery, he gives a little introduction. We know you're from God. Nobody could do these things unless he is from God. Boom. Unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, that's not quite exactly what Nicodemus was expecting. I think Nicodemus came to Jesus expecting a little dialogue, a little interchange, a little sharing of ideas. Didn't Jesus know who he was? He was a ruler in Israel. He was an important person. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a Jew. He was one who had privilege. And Jesus is saying to him, unless a man be born again, you can't enter the kingdom of God. You know, when somebody comes, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but there is a gift called the gift of discernment from the Spirit. And there are times when I have been in conversation with somebody and God has spoken to me, and I just speak words as God gives them to me, and the people get a shocked look on their face because it speaks directly to their heart and to the need that they have. The conversation that had been going on before was all a smokescreen. And this is what Nicodemus was doing to Jesus. And Jesus could look under the heart. He knew that Nicodemus was searching for something. He'd come to him for answers. I want to stop here just for a minute and interject. Any of you get Time Magazine? I don't. I happen to be able to get it in online. You don't have to pay for it there. But last week's, I shouldn't say last week's, if you're going to the newsstand, this will come out September 3rd. Maybe it's already there, I don't know. When I went to the Time Magazine's webpage, next week's is already there. But cover page, cover story about Sister Teresa. A gentleman was writing a book. He has been the foremost person trying to get Mother Teresa elevated to the next step, which is sainthood. In doing all the research that he did, he came across some interesting things. Mother Teresa is known for what? Her selfless giving of herself. She won the Nobel Peace Prize, which, what comes along with that? That's our highest commendation for a person, isn't it? Our highest level of respect we can pay them, that she was a great woman in the world doing wonderful humanitarian work. What comes along with a Nobel Peace Prize for the most part, monetarily? What would you do with $1 million? What do we know that Mother Teresa did with that money that she was given? She gave it away. She built orphanages. She took care of people, children who had no one to care for them. Mother Teresa, for all intents and purposes, and today I want to say this, I'm not here to be anyone's judge. But I just want to share with you, here was a woman who, by outward appearances, had given up all of the comforts and necessities of life. Spent her time giving to other people. But I'm going to give you a couple of things from her own words that might give you an insight into who Mother Teresa was on the inside. In the September 3rd issue, it says this, and I'm quoting, "It is not enough for us to say, 'I love God, but I do not love my neighbor,' she says, 'since in dying on the cross, God has made himself the hungry one, the naked one, the homeless one. Jesus' hunger,' she said, 'is what you and I must find and alleviate.' She condemned abortion and bemoaned youthful drug addiction in the West. Finally, she suggested that the upcoming Christmas holiday should remind the world that radiating joy is real, because Christ is everywhere. Christ in our hearts, Christ in the poor we meet, Christ in the smile we give, and in the smile that we receive." Sounds like Mother Teresa, doesn't it? Look for the good in people. Take the Christmas holidays to think of what you can do for others. And that Jesus is in the faces and lives of the people that we meet. 3 months earlier, she wrote a letter to her spiritual confidant, the Reverend Michael Vanderpeet. And she wrote, "From a weary familiarity of the different Christ, an absent one. Jesus has a special love for you," she says. "But as for me, the silence and the emptiness is so great that I look and I do not see it. I listen and I do not hear. The tongue moves in prayer, but does not speak. I want you to pray for me that I let him have a free hand in my life." How do you put those two things together? Christ is everywhere, but in my life, he's empty. These two statements were only 11 weeks apart. Nicodemus was caught in this kind of a quandary. He was a teacher of God's word that they had, the prophets and the Torah. And yet, strangely enough for him, God was absent. He felt no peace in his life. You know, we might be there ourselves. We are a privileged people, the Adventist Church. We've been given a special message to the world. And I believe we've been given the ability to have a special relationship with God because of that message that he has given us. But Nicodemus was caught off guard. He was a Jew. Their thought processes were that they were born into the kingdom of God. They didn't have to earn it, they deserved it. And sometimes we as Adventists get there, don't we? Listen to Nicodemus' response. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Ever get caught off guard? Ever have a conversation with somebody and they seem to just speak right to your heart? People who get caught off guard and blindsided, they revert to one of two things. They just clam up and are quiet, or they get very defensive. Jesus says, you must be born again. Nicodemus says, I'm a Jew. How can that be? So he says, how can I be born again when I'm old? He got defensive. But you know, something we know about Nicodemus was is that the heathen that they came in contact with, if they wanted to become a Jew, they could. They had to take special classes. They had to learn certain things. They had to pass certain tests. That sound familiar? We as an Adventist church like to do that too. You want to be one of us? Okay, here's not 27 anymore. It's 28 fundamental beliefs. You got to be able to recite these forwards and backwards. And then you may be a part of us if, as long as you look good on the outside. Nicodemus taught these heathens to become Jews. And they used that term as a new birth. Nicodemus, the position he held, the responsibility he had, he led people into this new birth experience. But you see, it wasn't for him. He was already born a Jew. How could this apply to him? He had come to Jesus to have a discussion. Jesus laid bare his own need. He needed to have a true conversion. You know, we as Christians don't need to have our curiosity satisfied. We need to have our heart filled. Some people come to church because they're curious. But we need to have a new heart. Nicodemus had heard John the Baptist preach about repentance and baptism, and that was all fine. Go, John, preach it. You know, I'm right behind you. There's people out there that need it, not me. And I want you to take a good hard look, because this story isn't just about Nicodemus, it's about you and me. Have we gotten a little too comfortable sitting here in church? And we can listen to the stories, we can listen to hear God's word proclaimed, but it's like, well, that's great, Pastor, but that's not for me. We don't need anything. We don't need to talk about conversion. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. I've heard people say, I'm a fourth-generation Adventist. Did you know that God does not have any grandchildren? He only has sons and daughters. You cannot be born into the kingdom of heaven. You cannot be born with one foot in heaven. You have to choose to be there. And the only way to be there is to choose Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Savior part to save you from your past, the Lord to deal with your present and your future. We all need the same thing Nicodemus needed, and that was a new heart. The story goes on. Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You see, a Jew didn't have to be baptized. They were born into the kingdom. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now, once again, Jesus is just going off on some tangent. It has nothing to do with Nicodemus. It really has nothing to do with us. The wind blows, well, we know that. We don't know where it comes from. We don't know where it goes. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Yada, 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 yada. Jesus goes on to say, you can't understand what I'm saying because you don't have a spiritual mindset. Wow. A teacher in Israel. A Pharisee. A member of the Sanhedrin. You don't understand, Nicodemus. You haven't arrived yet. You don't have the Spirit in you. You can't understand spiritual things. Nicodemus had questions. That's why he came to Jesus. but he didn't get the answers he was looking for. So often, I don't know if you are this way as a parent, but have you ever asked your child a question and you already knew the answer they should give? Did you take the cookies out of the cookie jar? Well, the cookies are gone. You didn't take them. Nicodemus came to Jesus for a dialogue. He asked questions or was going to talk to him about things he knew. He wanted to communicate with God on an equal plane, but you see, we're not God. And Jesus laid bare his soul and said, "This is what you need, Nicodemus, and I'm the person to give it to you. You need to have a relationship with me. You need to let me fill your life. You need to be open to the Spirit and how He leads. Teach that to people. Model that before the people in the temple." Nicodemus didn't get the answers he was looking for, but he got the answers he needed. If you take those Bibles that you have, they're in John chapter 3. One of the most memorized verses in the Bible, probably, or at least the one that's the most recognized. John chapter 3, and I'm starting with verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but that the world through him might be saved." Nicodemus said, "Could this be the one?" Jesus is saying, "I am the one you're looking for." And Nicodemus, no matter what you think of yourself, no matter where you were born or what position you hold, I want to save you too. And you're not saved because of your birth, you're saved because of your choice, and you're saved because of your faith in me, my actions. Nicodemus, I'm going to die on a cross for you. If you believe in me, you will be saved. And you see, Jesus saw to the heart of Nicodemus, saw what he needed, and said, "Here it is." Nicodemus was born again. He became a follower of Jesus. Not just reading the words in the book, but becoming a follower of Jesus. What does a follower of Jesus look like? You have to realize that you are his hands and his feet here on earth. You find somebody who has a need, you do everything in your power to take care of that need. You don't turn away, you don't walk away. You know, Nicodemus didn't openly follow Jesus from this night meeting. But under the pen of the inspiration, if you continue to read The Desire of Ages, you'll see that Nicodemus spoke on Jesus' behalf in the Sanhedrin when they were plotting against him. And that when Jesus was brought to trial before the Sanhedrin, there were two very prominent people not called. They didn't want to hear the reasoning voice of Nicodemus or Joseph of Arimathea. They left him out because they were becoming more and more openly a follower of Jesus. Nicodemus accepted Jesus as his Savior and he received eternal life. Jesus had an impact on Nicodemus. It changed his life. The Bible. Still the number one bestseller in all the world. More people have Bibles than any other book. And yet it's the least read book of all time. Jesus himself says to the leaders of his day, "You search the scriptures thinking you will find what you're looking for." If you don't search the scriptures with the Holy Spirit's guidance, you'll just see words on a page. That was Nicodemus' life up to this point. But when he met Jesus, and Jesus met his need, he responded. It changed his life. Are you still reading just words on a page? Or are you willing to let Jesus come into your life and to change your life? This isn't part of my sermon, so it's free. You don't have to pay for this section. But I talk to people all the time. When you mention the word evangelism or you mention the word witness, and they say, Pastor, I can't witness. I don't have anything to say. Well, please don't tell me that. Because I've got something to say to you when you come to me and say, I can't witness because I don't have anything to share. What do you think that might be? If you don't have anything to share about Jesus to somebody, I'm just going to be point blank and blunt. You don't know him. Is that plain enough? When you've met Jesus and he has changed your life, you can't help but share. People ask me why I travel around the world, why I preach to anybody and everybody. It's because I want to share what God has done for me. I want other people to have that same joy and experience. And you can't share what you don't have. You can't share what you don't know. Have you let Jesus change your life? Have you let Jesus into your heart? Look at the story of Nicodemus with new eyes. Be an honest, sincere seeker for truth. Be a sincere follower of Jesus. Father in heaven, thank you for this short story that shows a man who had questions, came for dialogue, came and his life was changed. Help us to just come to you as we are and have our life changed by Jesus. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.